many of your listeners may well know that Lewis's word for our earthly experience is Shadowlands.
This is William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com, and you're listening to All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. With me today is Dr. Wayne Martindale. This is the first time Dr. Martindale is appearing on the show, but I'm sure it won't be his last. The primary reason he is on the show today is to discuss a book entitled Beyond the Shadowlands, C.S. Lewis on Heaven and Hell. Welcome to All About Jack, Wayne.
Thank you, William. It's a delight.
Well, now, while you've been involved in writing about Lewis for quite some time, your name might not be as familiar to some listeners, so before we get into your book, Beyond the Shadowlands, let me first ask you to provide some details about your background related to writing and teaching about Lewis.
I got into writing about Lewis with my friend and colleague, Jerry Root, for The Quotable Lewis. We began in about 1986, reading through everything Lewis had written, and we selected quotes organized thematically and alphabetically in The Quotable Lewis, and that came out in 1989. We were at that task for 3.5 years. Some people getting that book nowadays will probably find that the date is 1990. There were some slight revisions between the first and second printing. Then I continued to be interested in the subject of heaven, particularly since the very first book I read by C.S. Lewis as a sophomore in college, a bit of a late start, but a good one, was The Great Divorce. That book hooked me on heaven. And I published a volume through Moody Press called Journey to the Celestial City, Glimpses of Heaven from Great Literary Classics. And I wrote the chapter in that on The Great Divorce. And I published Beyond the Shadowlands with Crossway in 2005. Following that, there was the book The Soul of C.S. Lewis, Meditations on 26 of His Best-Loved Works in 2005. Several chapters in books and articles, but those are the main events. I've been teaching Lewis since about the same time I started writing on him.
And now one of the things we were talking about before we started recording, and I didn't put in my introduction, is the fact that you have taught at Wheaton College. In fact, you still do some teaching there, but you're actually retired. But how long have you been teaching there, since when?
I've been teaching since 1981 at Wheaton College, so it's a good long run, and it's been a wonderful experience. And I'm going to be teaching C.S. Lewis plus modern Western literature in the first half of the coming semester.
Great. Well, let's jump into your book. As you mentioned, Beyond the Shadowlands came out in 2005. So this being 2015 when we're recording and releasing this interview, that makes it now the 10th anniversary of publication. In the spirit of overviews again, I hope you wouldn't mind maybe giving a big picture perspective of what your book is about.
As the subtitle announces, it's C.S. Lewis on Heaven and Hell. Many of your listeners may well know that Lewis's word for our earthly experience is Shadowlands. And he meant by that that the real event is yet to come. This is a preparation time. And what lies beyond is, of course, heaven and hell. And heaven, in Lewis's view, was the reality that earth is our preparation for. So even the good things that we experience here are only foreshadowings of the wonders that we will experience in heaven if that's our final destination.
Well, now, because your book is divided into two major sections, it makes sense for me to approach it from that angle. Addressing heaven first, like you do in the other section, you handle this topic in two parts. So give us a taste of what you have in these sections of your book.
The first section is on demythologizing, and that deals with Lewis's prose work on the subject of, in this case, we're talking about heaven. And in his fiction, he remythologizes. So the second section is on Lewis's mythology about heaven. That term myth probably needs a little bit of explanation. He uses myth in three senses, two of them very common, one just to mean something that is false. Second meaning is a body of work like Roman mythology or Greek mythology, which was believed at one time but is no longer believed. The third sense is difficult because it's the opposite of the first two. It means something that gives, encapsulates values and belief systems, and something that is true, and that also gives us not just truth, but an experience of the thing it's trying to describe. So when Lewis writes Myths of Heaven, he's actually taking us imaginatively into some aspect of that world, while at the same time saying something true about it.
Would you mind maybe giving us some examples from the book of the actual content?
Sure. The section on demythologizing heaven, that is taking down that superstructure of false thoughts about heaven that build up from usually our cultural intakes. And these are all things that I feared or believed might be true about heaven at one point, and discovered in deeper study of the Bible and with reading C.S. Lewis especially, helped me to see through. Heaven will be boring. That was probably one of my greatest fears. I thought heaven would be like some extended church service that never, ever stopped. And one of the things that Lewis shows us is that God is the creator of all the pleasures, and heaven will be a place where we experience those without any diminution. Second myth is what? No sex? You may remember reading in Matthew 11:30, in answer to a question, Jesus said, "In heaven, we'll neither give in marriage nor will we marry, but we'll be like the angels." And so I thought, what? This will be something lacking from earthly experience. But Lewis shows that where we expect something to be missing, it will actually be subsumed into something even greater, which is relationships. The third is that in heaven will be ghosts, or I won't be myself, or the biblical imagery of harps and crowns. So those are some examples of the myths. There are seven altogether that are debunked, if you will, in this section.
And of course, for people to find out what the other myths are and the other content, we encourage them to get a copy of your book. And I guess it's pretty obvious that my next question will be regarding hell, since the two major areas is heaven and hell. So could you share some of what you how you handle this, including maybe examples of some of the myths in your book, Beyond the Shadowlands?
There are six myths in the hell section that are exposed as being false thinking about hell, and they include, would a good God send anyone to hell? Or would a physical hell be cruel? A third one is hell just a state of mind? Or number four, all the interesting people will be in hell. Five is a tolerant God would let me choose. And six is no one could be happy in heaven, knowing some are in hell. So those are the false myths. Then the true myths include works from the Screwtape Letters and Paralandra, That Hideous Strength, The Great Divorce, and The Chronicles of Narnia. And in this section, Lewis establishes what is a correct thinking about hell.
Well, now, one of the things I had mentioned when we were setting this up in the email, that it had been some time since I had read your book. Since scheduling you, I did go back through on my Kindle. I can actually have it read to me. So I did a quick grand kind of reading of it, and I want to go back again to read it in more detail because I do remember enjoying it. But I essentially read it when it came out back then, and since then I've been doing more stuff with Lewis and reread a lot of Lewis's works, and then there was a few works that I hadn't read that I finally did get around to reading. So the book was meaning a lot more to me. And one of the things that I did notice, when you look in your table of contents and how you have things divided and such, one of the things that I did appreciate about it in doing kind of a quick read through was that you have things divided up there, but you do bring in all your knowledge about Lewis's other works as you're talking about it, and so you're able to weave it in very naturally, and that's something that I really enjoyed I wondered in terms of maybe structuring that, was that something that was just came natural from your being familiar with reading it, or you made a concerted effort? How was that process?
Well, having done the quotable Lewis, I knew Lewis's works pretty well, and then I had taught them, written on them a little bit more by the time I came to write this book. So I knew something of where to look, but writing is often a very messy process. So I would write something and then read something, go back and add or take away. So to get something refined so that it reads smoothly and flows isn't always very pretty in the making. So it wasn't natural in the sense that I sat down like Lewis often did and knew exactly where he was going from the beginning and then just let it flow, knowing where the endpoint was and how to get there. So it was a wrestling match in lots of ways, but it was a fruitful wrestling match in which I learned a great deal.
Thinking back to when you first wrote the book, like how long did it take, and were there any interesting twists and turns in either researching or getting the book into print?
Right, and in some sense, it's like an athlete performing on the field, or like a musician playing a piece that might last 5 minutes. You spend your whole life preparing for those 5 minutes. So since I first started reading Lewis, I've been, in a sense, preparing by what I've read. But setting out to write a book that I would publish under the title Beyond the Shadowlands was about a 9-month process. I started it in the spring and then worked through a summer and a sabbatical in the fall, and eventually finished it in about October of the year I began.
Well, now, because it's been 10 years since Beyond the Shadowlands came out, I imagine you've received various feedback over the years. Is there any samples of what some others have said to you about it that you'd like to share?
Well, that's a nice question to ask. I think one of the things that has been most gratifying is that the book was translated into Italian and then into Korean, and a big chunk of it into Chinese, and those things were unexpected. Few pastors have written me to say that they've used the reading of the book as the genesis of a series on heaven or heaven and hell in their preaching. And one person I knew in another teaching assignment at another place several years ago, I'd sent a copy to, and she had experienced the death of a husband that was very painful, and it shook her faith, maybe a little bit like C.S. Lewis when he lost his wife to cancer. And she said she read the book and then decided that she would begin reading more of Lewis, and she was, in her words, reading her way back to faith. And that was very gratifying.
Yeah, that's definitely nice to hear feedback like that in different types of things that I've done. I've not published a book, but it's always great to hear feedback where what you've done has made a positive impact on others' lives. Well, now let's take a moment. You've already mentioned the quotable Lewis, and but have you maybe talk a little bit more about that briefly, as well as a probably lesser known title that came out somewhat recently, and that is The Soul of C.S. Lewis. If you could share briefly about each.
The quotable Lewis really grew out of a frustration in trying to remember some of those really cool things that C.S. Lewis said in his very memorable and inimitable way. And then you think you know where to look, maybe, and you go back to the book and you look and you look, and maybe an hour later you still haven't found the quotation. So it was really an attempt to solve that kind of problem, as well as to provide a resource that would be usable in writing or speaking or just thinking about any topic in which you could very quickly look it up. There are altogether 1,565 quotes in this book, and they run quite a gamut. It's organized alphabetically. So, for example, if you want to find out what Lewis said about faith, you could turn, just like a dictionary, to faith and see what he wrote about faith. And we organize the quotations we use chronologically. So the earliest quote would be first and the latest quote last. Other kinds of topics range from God to love to the nature of Christianity, human destiny, people that were of interest to Lewis, like MacDonald, for example, or Dante or Percy Shelley. You can find what Lewis had to say about those as well as about subjects. The Soul of C.S. Lewis is another collaboration with Jerry Root and also with Linda Washington. The three of us edited the book, and there were some other folks who made contributions as well. It's a series of devotionals. Each devotional takes about one page. It begins with a Lewis quote, ends with a passage of scripture, and in between is a reflection on that idea. There are four big sections in the book, and each of those has six subsections, and basically each section is devoted to a book. So it's a useful tool for getting your day started or getting your day ended with a reflection by C.S. Lewis.
And of course, those titles are still in print. In fact, as probably people figure, since we're talking about your book, Beyond the Shadowlands, that one is still in print, which I just may note that since it has been 10 years, not every book that comes out, say, you know, 10 years later is still in print. In fact, around 2005, people may remember there was some movie that came out. It was that first Narnia movie, and there was more than a few books that year that came out. Not all of them are still in print.
Now, that was a big year for Lewis books, and it continues unabated. I'm astonished at the number of really good books that continue to come out on Lewis. Since you mentioned the movie, in the year the movie came out, the quotable Lewis sold 10,000 copies, I think, in that year. So that was a little bit of a bump over what we normally sell in a year.
Well, now let's go ahead and wrap up here, Wayne. In closing, maybe give a final summary wrap about why people should consider getting a copy of your book.
The subject of heaven and hell is a perennial one. God created us with our eternal destiny in view, and providing for that through Jesus Christ. The world and we ourselves were created by him, we're sustained by him, and we will eventually, if we accept him as a provision for our eternal life, spend eternity with him. So there's something deep within us that wants to know about our human destiny. And that, of course, is never going to be out of date as a topic.
All right. Well, Wayne, thank you for joining me today on All About Jack.
It's a delight to be with you. Thank you for having me on your show.
This is William O'Flaherty, and thanks goes also to you, the listener, for joining us. Be sure to check the show notes for any links mentioned about online resources. You have your choice of two places to accomplish this, either at EssentialCSLewis.com or where I have the audio files hosted at allaboutjack.podbean.com. If it's been some time since this show was released that you're listening to it, you might have to search through the notes by the book title, which again is Beyond the Shadowlands, or by the author of it, Dr. Wayne Martindale. And EssentialCSLewis.com and the All About Jack podcast. So I've done various interviews, so be sure to check that out. Here in the last several months at the time this is being released, I've done various interviews. There was the poetry book dealing with C.S. Lewis, or a collected poems with Dr. Don King. Also chatted with and released around the 1st of December a short biography that Devin Brown did on Tolkien. So there's that and many others in the archives it has as well. Some previous ones I did with Douglas Gresham as well as Dr. Alistair McGrath. And then on EssentialCSLewis.com, a variety of resources including a daily fact quote and quiz.